Shapiro and Mr. Segura. All right, we are on item two, PR 2020-4138, site plan application 2021-574. This is for Mesa Apartments LLC at University and Bobby Foster Road Southeast. And Jeeves and Zuzu is the agent. I see Mr. Hickman. Let's go ahead and have you give your name, address, and I'll swear you in.
Good morning. This is Dave Hickman from Jeeves and Zuzu. The address is 11030 Manal Northeast, Suite C, Albuquerque 87112.
Okay. Do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Mr. Hickman, go ahead and give us an update.
Sure. We've been working with the DRB staff and trying to address comments and make corrections. Again, this is a 318 unit apartment complex to be located in Mesa del Sol at the corner of Bobby Foster and University. I believe that we've worked through most all of the comments. We've received some comments last night, which we very much appreciate, and we'll work towards getting those completed as quick as possible. We've made a few changes since our last meeting. One of those is the site access. The access in the revised and the updated site plan shows access directly off of Bobby Foster and University and from Sagan Loop, and prohibits access from the other residential streets. So that was the major change. With this, that obviously changes some of our usable open space allowable area, or not allowable areas, but our usable open space areas. And we submitted a revised landscape plan with those calculations and area calculations in that last submission as well. The changes to the buildings, the developer would like to pursue adding more covered parking, adding elevators to achieve accessibility to a greater extent, and also to be able to extend balconies where possible. And so those were also changes that have been made to the design since we've met last.
Okay, thank you. And does that cover all of the items that you, we got a letter from Ms. Kathleen Agar, attorney representing the homeowners in the area, the neighborhood association, and she had a list of items. I was just trying to look for that in my emails, but she had a list of items that they were saying that they had made agreements with the developer regarding. Some of those items can appear on the site plan, and I think those are items that you brought up this morning. There were certain items in that list that are not things you can place on the site plan and are not exactly the purview of the DRB. So I just kind of wanted to make that clear, but would you state that the items that you've agreed to with the neighborhood that are you can place on the site plan are there? And maybe if you could just summarize those again for us this morning.
This is Dave Hickman again. Yeah, the things that were relative to the site plan, one of those was a wall, a separation wall to be located on the, which would be the south side of the property all along those residential, the residential streets. Again, to be able to block access, but then also to provide a headlight barrier into the residential areas.
Some noise calming.
That's along, right, along Arbus and Penn, both of those streets.
Okay,
that extends
I'm at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Correct, yeah, correct. There have been discussions about the financing and about the potential residents and income levels of the residents that would live at this property. None of that is relevant to the IDO or to the DRB, but it's my understanding that they've been having discussions and about those.
Okay. Discussions between the neighborhood and whom?
The owner and the developer. The owner being Mesa Del Sol and the developer being Mesa Apartments.
All right. And so I think what we want to make clear this morning is those kind of agreements don't fall within the realm that the DRB or the city would be involved in. So I just kind of want to make that clear. And then do we have an exhibit that shows, you mentioned a change to the balconies?
So this is Dave Hickman again. So we have included language in the DRB set to allow that as a potential possibility. So the challenge that we're facing at this moment and all throughout construction and design is the volatility of material pricing and increasing in subcontractor prices. And so the developer has an intent to add additional balconies. So, and I might say this in review of the discussion that we just had about what elements are relative to DRB and which aren't, a fundamental change relative to the population and the tenant population would be to move to a higher class or a more expensive unit rent. And in that, then the Mesa Del Sol Corporation has requested and required that we provide one-to-one parking ratio, cover parking space for market rate apartments. And so that was one condition. The second condition, so that one has been included. A secondary condition was to meet the market rate apartment rentals and desire was to be able to have the elevators and gain secondary access. Again, that's a reflection of trying to respond to a market condition and to be able to do so if the budget allows that. And so then the third was the balcony issue. And so that's just at this point, it's a, I would say, a wish list. I think it's a hope and somewhat of an expectation, but it was not something that either the, from my understanding, that Mesa Del Sol is requiring or that the neighborhoods have requested. It would be simply a desire on the developer's side to be able to provide, to be able to meet market demands potentially.
Okay. So this is Chair Wolfley. I just kind of want to summarize that because I think this is important. You're saying that you have created a list of upgrades that are desirable if the developer is able to incorporate them into their budget and acquire the materials necessary to build those.
This is Dave Hickman.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, Madam Chair, that is correct.
Okay, does that, and those items are covered parking?
Yes, so the three are covered parking, elevators, and the extension of balconies.
Okay, and so how far would the balconies be extended?
So this is Dave Hickman again. The balconies would not extend beyond what the given elevation, the volumes of the building are are variated as it occurs, and so the balconies would extend into that variation. They don't extend beyond the body of the building, if that makes sense. It's really just taking up the volume.
So in the recessed, as the building is articulated in those recessed areas, and we can see on the screen, in those areas, you have the potential to extend the balconies out, the floor of the balcony.
That is correct. Okay. That is correct.
All right. Yeah. And with regard to covered parking, what covered parking are you providing at this point on your site plan?
So the developer and the owner, Mesa Del Sol Corporation, has agreed to provide a covered parking count of one covered parking space per market rate apartment. And so what that would do is, if there is then a full conversion of the project to Marker 8. That would be a 318 covered parking spaces as a maximum. And then that number, we have a certain number of parking spaces provided. I can't remember quite off the top of my head what that number is right now. I have to go back and look at the plan, but we do have a minimum number of parking spaces, covered parking spaces that are provided, which Mesa del Sol Corporation has required.
Okay. And then with regard to the elevators, there you have no elevators now, and this is something you might do in the future?
This is Dave Hickman. Yes, that is correct. So we have, there are on the larger buildings, so buildings A, B, C, D, E, F, G, those buildings have a recessed entryway off of the parking lot. And there is a space already provided in the plan to allow for those. And those building footprints would not change considerably. The elevators would then find that location in those spaces. What would change if there were elevators would, of course, be the height of that room to be able to accommodate the elevator tower as it would go. But fundamentally, the buildings themselves would not change considerably.
Okay. Let me ask a question of Ms. Gould real quick. Ms. Gould, if these items that Mr. Hickman is describing were to change, would that trigger some kind of amendment to the site plan that would need to be processed?
This is Maggie Gould. So I think, and I will ask Mr. Montano to leap in and tell me if this makes sense as well, but I think it could be handled two different ways. I think the amendments, I mean, the balconies and the elevators and all of that could either be shown on the site plan, in which case, if they weren't built, the applicant would need to come back for an administrative amendment. Or if they weren't shown on the site plan, the applicant would need to come back to add them. But my other thought is that we could have some notes, you know, kind of like this has this site plan also has a phasing plan to it. And we could have some notes saying, you know, something like possible future elevator area to be added with separate permit. You know, and we could do the balconies as optional balconies may be added. Because I think that all of the things that the applicant has suggested are really nice amenities to the project. And I think if we can find a way to accommodate that within the site plan and allow the applicant that flexibility, especially since I think it will result in better design, I think that might be a way forward.
Okay, excellent comments, Ms. Gould. And I think we have some time to work on that with Mr. Hickman. So, all right. Is there anyone else from the applicant team that would like to give some comments on where you all are at with your project? Mr. Hickman, are you still there? I can't tell if you're...
I am. I'm okay. Here. Sorry.
You're so calm. I thought, is he frozen on me?
I don't have any other comments unless you all have questions. No, I really appreciate the comments that have gotten back. I've spoken with Scott McGee, the civil engineer, and we've gone through the comments from last evening. What I would like to do is sit down with Gene and just... we get snowblind and there's a lot of information on all the sheets and just, I think if we spent 5 minutes going through with her and her comments to find out which dimension strings I've missed somehow and, you know, which site triangles I've missed somehow, I think that would be greatly helpful for us. I know Scott, in talking with him, he had some plans to add the gray water system onto the infrastructure list for the water to address the water utility authorities comments. Again, we appreciate those very much. And it's my understanding, I know that the Mesa Little Store Corporation and Scott Eddings have been working with Gene and Shahab about getting this traffic impact study. I know that that is a critical linchpin of being able to move forward with the DRB approval. We understand that, and hopefully we'll see some progress on that soon.
Okay, Mr. Eddings, did you want to make comments at this time?
Yeah, this is Scott Eddings. I just wanted to let you all—
Let's go ahead and get your address and swear you in.
Hey, Scott Eddings, Hugh Azalers, 333 Rio Rancho Boulevard. I do solemnly swear that I'll tell the truth.
That sounds great. Go ahead, Mr. Eddings.
Okay, I just wanted to give you all an update on the traffic study for this project. And we've received city comment a week or so ago. Our folks are working through those comments with the expectation to have the updated traffic study submitted back to the city mid to late next week.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Eddings. And okay, let's go ahead. I want to now move to the section where we've had the intro to the project, and now we go to public comment before we go to the DRB member comments and interaction with the applicant. So any member of the public that wishes to speak on item 2 on University Boulevard and Bobby Foster, if you could raise your hand in Zoom, that's the preferable way, or you can raise your hand in your video, press *9 if you're on audio, or speak up by unmuting. And I particularly would like to first hear from, before there was someone who was representing the neighborhood, if that person could come forward first, that would be very helpful if they're here today.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Please give me your name.
Okay, my name is David Mills, and I am the president of the Mesa del Sol Neighborhood Association Board, and my address is 2400 Cunningham Southeast, Albuquerque.
All right. Mr. Mills, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right. Please go ahead with your comments, and we appreciate you being here and helping us to kind of update what we've heard, what we've received as a letter, and then where we are today.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for mentioning the letter and inquiring about our concerns with the project. I basically wanted to get on today and just confirm what Mr. Hickman said, that we have reached an understanding with the project applicant, and the update of the site plan that you looked at today does include all of the aspects of the agreement that we have with them that pertain to the DRB. So we are in support of the plan changes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Mills, and we really appreciate the neighborhood working with the applicant. There are some areas that you can cover effectively that go a little beyond the scope of the DRB. So we appreciate that you're working together and coming to those kind of agreements. I think that's breeds a good outcome. So thank you very much. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Yes, Mr. Hickman did mention one thing in his comments. He said, and it may have just not been an intentional turn of phrase, but he said, if the apartments go to market rate, and that is outside the purview of the DRB, yet that was a key component of our discussion, because much of our objection had been focused on the percent of affordable housing exceeding what was indicated in the Mesa del Sol master plan. So our understanding is that it will go to market rate housing, but when he said if there is a change in that, we would want to look at that again in terms of the master plan. But in terms of our agreement and understanding at this point, we have no objection. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Hickman, do you want to respond to that?
This is Dave Hickman. Fundamentally, I'm an architect and I deal with buildings and then also the DRB process, which we're working through. So, you know, for this venue and for this submission, really what we're doing is trying to put together the aspects of the project that meet the IDO and meet the level B master plan. And so that's our focus today. The who the tenants are, how the tenants are selected, what income rates they are, that's beyond me and the purview of this DRB submission.
Okay. Is the actual developer in this call this morning?
Yes.
Is that you, Mr. Wilkin?
It's Mr. Heller.
Okay. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself, your firm, your address?
Yes, my name is Seth Heller, Heller & Company, 4173 North Bay Road, Miami Beach, Florida.
And do you swear firm to tell the truth?
Yes.
Okay, and so Mr. Heller, why I'm asking you to speak up is I think it's important that the neighborhood understand clearly. You know, I think it's becoming clear that the city and the DRB will not be monitoring the rent levels or the income levels of the occupants of these apartments. And wherein, what your intention is regard to that, what you can guarantee, you can't guarantee. I think it's very important that the neighborhood have a very clear idea of that as we proceed forward.
Okay. So you want me to speak to it? I mean, in relations right now, the project is mid-range workforce housing, as we know it, which is very close to what you would be considered A class market rate. On average, the unit rents should classify between 80% AMI and 130% AMI. From a standpoint of income levels. There has been multiple meetings with the representatives of the Neighborhood Association and the developers, as well as Mesa del Sol, to any of these questions, as well as there has been an agreement also with an understanding from the Neighborhood Association of going to market level rates on the units. This is went from a what you would call a more affordable type of project to a market rate type of project that we're still trying to include workforce housing, because the need within the Albuquerque market for housing that fits into a structure that that, you know, the people that are what is known as affordability. But it would be considered market rate.
Okay, this is Chair Wolfley. Mr. Heller, under the financing you're doing here, is there a requirement that a certain number of the units be at a certain percentage of the AMI, or I guess it's average medium income?
No. Going to that question, our original proposal in April, May that we presented to the DRB was under a restrictive covenant that the restrictive covenant would be assigned to the actual land of the property. And that would restrict our abilities on limits within what's known as a LIHTC type of projects. We have now pivoted. Because of the feedback of the association and the agreement of the association that we have, we pivoted to a market rate type of project because of what, you know, the feedback that we got within the community, as well as as there are multiple meetings with representatives from the neighborhood association. We've met with them numerous times, as well as a back and forth, and have an agreement in place to move the project forward as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you. So at this point in time, there's nothing that guarantees rent levels or applicants' income levels with regard to the project.
That's correct.
It's kind of at your discretion.
That's correct.
Okay. I'm not that this is our purview, but because the public is here with questions, I'm just trying to make sure there's clear understandings. And that's why I'm asking these questions. And so once again, as the developer, with regard to the additional covered parking, having elevators added to the project and balconies, can you clearly explain how you will make a decision on those elements being added to the site plan?
Yeah, so a clear distinction of adding those to the site plan is the affordability at the time, making sure that the AMI is within the classifications that I've outlined, which it would be if it just follows the market as of today. So we would be making those recommendations as the change to be able to move forward the process with the covered parking and balconies and elevators. This would be what you would consider market rate or higher end workforce. The question would be, the only remaining question is if the rent levels would be on the 100% AMI side, 80% AMI side, but they would all fill within that range. As long as they fill above the average AMI within the market, we would be moving forward with these updates.
Okay. All right. And I just kind of want to make sure the neighborhood understands the variability of that. And so that's kind of based on the rents you can charge.
That's correct. But our financing is not restricted. So it's more likely than not just more likely. It's 80% that we're going to be making these updates for the community because of the rent levels and that exist there today.
Madam Chair, I think I might be able to, this is Dave Hickman, I think I might be able to add a little bit more to the issue of timing. This has been a drawn out process. DRB is not always very quick and smooth, we understand that. But with the changes in the kinetic nature of the market right now, it's hard, it's very difficult to make decisions, especially those that are affecting the total cost of the project. Prior to construction permitting, we will have a better understanding of what the actual, at that moment, construction cost is for the buildings as they go. And so the issue of balconies or the issues of elevators, those will happen prior to the permit submission. Depending on how long it takes to be able to get through the DRB process and then how long it takes to be able to get the financing all secured for the project, that would be at the time that we would make the decision to do balconies or not do balconies, or to be able to add elevators or not add elevators. I think that I really appreciate Maggie's suggestion about the noting, because that does, from a project standpoint, give us a little bit of flexibility in that time. We want to sign contracts when we go into construction for the full project, and that saves us time and money when it comes to the construction of those balconies, ultimately making that more likely to be able to happen. Ultimately, that would be the design. That would be the time determination.
Excellent. Yeah, and we definitely don't want to make an impediment to doing those upgrades. So thank you, Mr. Hickman. Let me circle back to Mr. Mills. We were in public comment, and I was having the applicant team respond to you. Do you still have a comment, Mr. Mills? Your hand is still up.
Yes, this is Dave Mills, Neighborhood Association. I just wanted to thank Mr. Heller. What he stated confirmed our understanding of the agreement. I had just been confused a bit by Mr. Hickman's comment. So I am in agreement with Mr. Heller as to the understanding of the things that are outside of your purview, and we are have no objection to the site plan as revised. So the neighborhood association has no objection at this point as we go forward.
Okay, thank you. We're in the section of public comment. Is there any other member of the public that wishes to speak on this item number 2 in Mesa del Sol? Okay, so a lot of people here today. I don't see anyone else, so let's go to board comments, Water Authority.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. Most of our comments relate to the infrastructure list. We're not provided an updated copy of that. Basically, we're looking for that infrastructure list to be updated to reference either the offsite mains, if they're not constructed yet, on the north and the west side. If they are constructed, that can be just noted, I guess, as far as a work order update. And as well, the just to note, the non-potable master plan that's still nine that's needed prior to work order being issued for this project. I think the current listing on there referenced a study that was to be done. There are some lines shown as various sizes. We still want to list it in the infrastructure list with an approximate size with a note that it's to be determined by a master plan. So I think that was the big thing. I don't know if we've seen, I've not seen a later infrastructure list that address those prior comments. I'd be happy to answer any questions or talk about that if you need to. Thank you.
Okay, is there any questions? Are there questions for Mr. Carter?
I don't have any questions. No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Code enforcement.
Good morning, Ms. Montano, code enforcement. My only comment that I had prior to the new evidence or new submittals was need to provide a architectural control committee approval. And with that being said, another option to kind of piggyback off Ms. Gould was maybe have an approved options, if you will, to show the carports and balconies as part of that approved site plan. That way you won't have to do the AA and maybe call them options and see if the board would be okay with that option.
This is Dave Hickman. I appreciate that the comment. We have actually made the ARC committee aware of the options, and they have approved and provided an updated approval letter stating that those are also approvable and included. So we do have that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Parks and Recreation.
Joel Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. No additional comments.
I'm sorry, I was looking at the waiting room. Hydrology.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology. Hydrology has an approved conceptual grading and drainage plan for tract A4A with engineer stamp date of 4/15/2021. I will note, though, I did not realize that the site plan had changed. Any changes to the site plan must be reflected on the grading and drainage plan. So a revised grading and drainage plan will be required. Also, as Jay was flipping around and I noticed, I saw that there is phasing on this. Phasing must be shown on the grading and drainage because we need to know how the infrastructure for drainage is going to be built along with this. If there are any storm drains, I need to know when those are going to be built. So the grading and drainage also needs to be phased.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate the comments. It's my understanding that Scott McGee has submitted an updated hydrology plan, but we'll confer with him for sure.
Okay, thank you. I haven't seen it yet, but I will keep my eye out for it.
Okay, and Mr. Eddings?
Yes?
Is that you that's submitted the updated grading and drainage.
Scott McGee.
Well, Scott McGee. Okay, I apologize. Let's go to transportation.
Good morning. This is Jean Wolfenberger with transportation. Thank you for addressing previous comments. Most of my comments this morning are just based more on fine tuning, tidying up some of the information you've already provided. As was mentioned before, the traffic impact study is required prior to site plan approval. All improvements recommended as part of the study due to the impact of this specific development shall be placed onto the infrastructure list. Regarding clear sight triangles, because of the speeds on University and Bobby Foster in this sort of case, you know, along with, I guess, the volume of traffic, I would like to see the sight distance triangles reflective of the DPM requirements for intersections. So it would basically just be based on speed. If you could take a look at that section of the DPM.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Okay. And I did note that there was, the dimensioning is a lot more extensive right now. That I just had a few comments on that. I just noted, just please list the typical width of the spaces in each of the segments and also list the dimensions for the motorcycle spaces as well. Label motorcycle spaces with the keyed note and provide a detail for the sign. Label all signage on the site plan with the keyed note that is shown on the detail sheet. It looked like you had some signs on the detail sheet that I didn't see as part of this plan. So if you could just please double check that. Also the stop sign within the development has to be an isolated sign. It can't be mixed with anything else. So you might just take a look at that and think about your approach, I guess, at those access ways before the crosswalks out to the public right of way at University and Bobby Foster. Also, I do see the 6-foot minimum ADA access from the office to the public right of way. It just wasn't clear just immediately outside the office. It looked like some text was blocking some of that entranceway. So I just need to see the 6-foot width all the way from the office building door all the way to the right of way. Also, there's a lot of pedestrian ways on here. I still need to see the width on, you do have widths shown on most of them, but a lot of the interior widths, they do need to be dimensioned. Also, be specific on whether the new sidewalk within the public right-of-way is being built with this plan or with the public work order, if that could be listed. And I wanted to make sure the sidewalk is in conformance with approved cross sections from Scott Eddings on the surrounding streets. So if you could also include those cross sections as part of this submittal, and I just wanted to make sure landscape buffers and all were incorporated and taken into account with the sidewalk locations within the public right of way. For the curb ramp detail sheet, on that specific detail sheet, I think it would be best to just list the crosswalk numbers and dumpster numbers for clarity, since your details are based on crosswalk numbers and dumpster numbers, just to be certain as to where, those are referenced. And that's all I had.
This is Dave Hickman. Thank you for the comments. We'll endeavor to pick them all up and may, like I say, find a moment to sit down with you and make sure that we've checked every box.
Thank you. This is Jean.
Mr. Biazar.
Madam Chair, this is Shahab Biazar. I just had a suggestion regarding the possible changes. Instead of adding nodes, I was thinking that it might be better to have alternative plans where it does include those changes, in case, it does changes the dimensions of the buildings or setbacks or somewhat. This way it will make it more clear for building permit process. That's all I had.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hickman. And you can kind of look at that. That makes sense to me that you would have maybe an alternate sheet that shows those upgrades on it. And then it's like Mr. Beazar is saying, then you have the dimensioning there and it's all ready to go. But we can discuss that further with you as needed. Let's go to planning comments.
So this is Maggie Gould. So we did get a resubmittal from the applicant that addressed the bulk of the planning comments. I think we would, I believe I need to go over the landscaping plan again, but we did get updated calculations that we requested. We have a signed and sealed landscape plan now. We have gotten the turf areas clarified. And I believe the setbacks were re-detailed. So I don't think planning has any major comments left. We've received a letter from the Mesa del Sol Architectural Review Board and the ownership letter. And the keyed notes have been updated.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for planning?
This is Dave Hickman. No, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Okay. At this point, Mr. Mills, do you have any questions about the testimony you've heard this morning?
This is Dave Mills. No, I do not. Thank you for asking.
Okay. All right. Let's look at a deferral date, Mr. Hickman. And I think Mr. Eddings is a key player in this when looking at the traffic impact and making sure that the road improvements will be serving the amount of people that are anticipated here.
This is Dave Hickman. I know, well, the comments are generally fairly readily achieved. Our preference would be to be able to come back for the September 1st hearing. My question would be to Jean and Scott Eddings if that's reasonable or not. I'm not sure where they are in their negotiations.
Mr. Eddings?
This is Scott Eddings. I think that we should have a revised submittal turned back into the city by, like I said, middle to end of next week. I think that it would be very tight because I would expect maybe a comment or two back from the city before we publish it. And as Ms. Wolfenbarger had indicated, the study has to be approved prior to sign off. But there's a number of other items that I heard that you could, you know, the September 1st, you probably could resolve everything else and just have that if it's not fully in place at that point. That could be the one lingering item. So that would be
the developer's request. This is Seth Heller. Our request would be to come in for September 1st, get everything else flushed out if possible, make sure that the DRB is happy with everything else, and if the traffic is not approved by that point, then we would move to the next meeting to get it finalized, but have everything else finalized if that's possible.
Okay. We can do it that way, Mr. Heller. So is there a motion to defer item 2 to September 1st?
And Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I second.
Please vote.
Blaine Carter, Water Authority, I approve.
Vincent Montano, Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Somerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenbarger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer item 2, PR 2020-4138, application for site plan 2021-574 to September 1st. Okay.